Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. We're going to continue with our Bible study on this Wednesday, continuing to look at life in heaven. Amen. And so I'm going to continue tonight with where we left off last week, living with God. And as we complete that, we'll then take a look at worshiping God. And remember what we said last week, which is, I believe, so important. If you get to heaven and God's not there, you made a wrong turn.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
So, you know, 2 or 3 weeks ago, we talked about seeing God face to face, because that's the promise that we see in the book of Revelation, that we shall see his face.
Yeah.
Last week, then, we started talking about dwelling with God. And we looked at some scriptures to show that it has been God's plan from the beginning to dwell with man, to live with him. And we talked about what that means, living. Living means interacting. It doesn't mean just sharing common space. But you interact, you talk, you do things together. That's living. I don't know what that other stuff is called if you're just sort of occupying the same space. And so last week, we started to look at what it means to be living with God. And, you know, we looked at some scripture in Revelation chapter 21, verse number 3, where it says, "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God." And we spent a little time last week talking about that emphasis on God himself will be with. Right? There's no substitute. God's not, right? You know, for so many years, there have been substitutes for God, right? You know, back in biblical times, it was the priest and the high priest that was a substitute for God, right? He always had a mediator. And even Jesus Christ on earth was the mediator and is the mediator between God and man. But when we get to heaven, we're going to need no mediator anymore.
That's right.
Isn't that something? Mm-hmm. I mean, now you're talking about unhindered access to God the Father. We were talking about that last week, that we now, God already promised, you're going to see my face. And now, you know, we're going to dwell with him, unhindered access to him. And quite frankly, you know, I can only speak for myself, but that's kind of big for my mind. I can't quite grasp all of that. You know what I mean? But I'm trying. Because that's just amazing, right? No more... no more hindrances in the way. Then we transition to being with Jesus, right? Because there's Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
If anybody read the book, The Shack, you know, the depiction of Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in The Shack is really something that really grabs your attention. And whether it's real or not, you know, the way it's depicted, you know, how the personalities that each one of them has. But I believe that part. I believe that God the Father has a certain personality, and Jesus has a certain personality, and the Holy Spirit has a certain personality. They're all God, and they all have, you know, divine characteristics and qualities, but they're three persons.
Yes, yes.
And so I don't expect God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit to be exactly the same, any more than if I met some triplets and expect them to be exactly the same in every respect. There'll be some common things.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm.
If I met three different people and they say I'm related, I wouldn't expect them to.
Exactly.
All I got to do is look at my siblings. sometimes I wonder what house they were raised in. We would have thought that. Where'd you get that from? Right? But it's these personalities, right? People have personalities. That's what makes life rich and everything else. And I believe God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, they're going to have distinct personalities. And so as we interact with them, it's, you know, first of all, they're going to be so deep and so, you know, can you imagine talking to the Father? If someone ever told you stuff and you just say, man, this person knows some things, you know what I mean? They have some experiences, maybe they travel, they're well-read. They say, man, this person's interesting. Because they've experienced some stuff. Well, can you imagine how many times you're going to have to multiply that when you're talking to God? You think God can tell you a story or two? You think God can give you some insight into some things you never thought of before? I mean, could you imagine sitting in the afternoon with God? I mean, I don't know how I want the afternoon to end. Because he's going to be telling me so much stuff that's so, you know, it'll blow my mind. I'm just going to sit there like, really? Come on, right? Oh, my goodness. Can't wait. All right, but we're going to transition now and talk about being with Jesus. And we started talking about this last week. And so we'll finish this up, and then we'll go into the next segment of worshiping God. Let's pray first, and then we'll continue where we left off last week. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your faithfulness, God, in bringing us back one more week, one more time to study your word. Father, we're praying now that the Holy Spirit of God will lead us and guide us into the truth of your word, opening up our eyes that we may clearly see. Father, we humble ourselves under your hand right now, God, that you may be exalted, oh God. Be exalted in this place as you speak unto us words of life. And Father, we thank you, Lord, for increase, God, increase of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that we receive by faith right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
All right, so being with Jesus. And we know in John 14, chapter 14, verse number 3, Jesus made a promise that in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Praise the Lord. If we believe Jesus is in heaven, and he's saying, look, I'm preparing a place for you, and I'm going to come again and receive you unto myself, that means, right, that Jesus has a place prepared for us in heaven. And he says here that you know, he says the reason why is because I want to receive you unto myself. In other words, I want to bring you to where I am. And then he says that because where I am, I want you to be right there.
Yes.
It's just amazing to me, man. Every time we read, so many times we read the Bible, and you see God saying how much he wants to be with you. And, you know, Lord forgive us for all the times we act like we don't have the time to be with you. And here God, over and over and over again, talks about how much he wants to be
with us.
Yeah. And we act like we're too cool for school. You know, after the game, I'm tired. I don't feel like it. Mm-hmm. Oh, we need to be so grateful that we have a kind and gracious God.
Very.
But God wants to be with us. One of the most amazing things, to me, is just one of the most amazing things about God. He wants to be with us. Sometimes I don't even want to be with me. You ever get like that where sometimes you're sick of you? And here God wants to be with us. And Jesus says this, right? I want to be with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 8. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord.
Yes.
See, I like this, right? Because again, Scripture is telling us, we are going to be present with Jesus. We're not going to be like, you know, in the same place. Here we are, right? Here we are in New Jersey. Somewhere in this country, LeBron James is in the country, right? Somewhere, right? President Obama is somewhere tonight. Your favorite actress or singer is somewhere tonight. But you're not present with them. Right? So we understand that to be present with somebody is it means something, right? It means you're right there. Right? And so to be present with the Lord doesn't simply mean he's in heaven, you're in heaven. You see what I'm saying? It doesn't mean he's in heaven, you're in heaven. It means, right? It's like when a teacher is taking attendance in school, you know, at least when I went to school, right? Present.
Yeah.
They call your name. What do you say? Present. What do you say? I'm right here. So I believe that to be present with the Lord, meaning I'm going to be right there with Jesus.
Yeah.
That's why Paul says, he said, look, I don't know whether I should stay or whether I should go. He said, but I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Notice what Paul said in the first chapter, Philippians chapter, verse number 23. He said, I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ. Because he's saying, I don't know whether I should live or whether I should die. He said, but I think I would rather go so that I can be with Christ.
Yeah.
Which is better by far. He didn't say, I wish. He said, I would rather that I would go so that I can be in heaven. He didn't say that. Now, he's going to be in heaven.
Yeah.
But notice what he said. If I depart, I'll be with Christ. So this idea of going to heaven, see, it's not just about going to heaven. You're going to heaven, you're going to be what?
With Christ.
With means with. You're not with LeBron James tonight. You're not with your favorite movie star tonight, even though you're still in the same country.
Yes.
You can be in the same city and not be with somebody. But see, when we be in heaven, and that's the wonderful thing about God, right? That we're going to be with him. It's not like we're going to say, where's God? You know what I mean? Like, you know, I thought he was up here in heaven. No, we're going to be with him. We're going to be present with the Lord. Now that's I want to jump down to number 7, and then we'll come back and go to number 5, number 6. But I want to go to number 7 first. Okay, Jesus walked the earth. He became man. He took on human limitations. That's one of the things. He was God, right? But he took on human limitations. When Jesus came to earth, he could only be in one place at one time. Because he took on this flesh of ours.
Yeah.
Right? And so he took on some human limitations. One place at one time. Now, here's the question. When we get to the new earth, when we get to heaven, will Jesus actually be present in his resurrected body in the new earth? Let's just deal with that one. What do you think? In the new earth. You know the body that Jesus rose with, you know, the one where he showed Thomas and said, look at my hands, look at my side. You know that body that Mary was clinging to and Jesus said, don't cling to me because I got to go to my Father. Do you think we're going to see Jesus in that body?
In that body, yeah. His resurrected body.
His resurrected body. That's what I'm talking about, right? His resurrected body, right? Oh, you think we'll see him in that body? Okay, so he's going to be in that body. Okay. So if he is, let's take Brother James at his word. I agree with Brother James. So, Brother James, if he is then, will he be limited to being in one place at one time in heaven? Or, because when he was on earth, remember, if he had the resurrected body on earth, he's still in one place one time. I mean, he was walking through walls and doors and things like that, but there was no indication while in the Gospels that even after his resurrection, he was only in one place at one time. But now, here's the question. In the new earth, will he be limited one place at one time, or will his divinity be no longer limited as it was here on earth, and somehow allow him to be omnipresent? In other words, do you think Jesus would be able to, capable of spending personal time with thousands of people all at the same time?
Yes.
There's going to be a lot of people in heaven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I know you think you're special, I think I'm special, but there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. No matter how many people while you were on earth, you told to go to, there's going to be a lot of people in heaven. So think about that. I think we asked last week, do you think you're going to have to make an appointment to see Jesus in heaven?
No.
I don't either. I just don't. I don't have any scripture to back it up. I'm just saying what I believe in terms of knowing God and knowing how much he wants to be with us. He's not going to be saying, well, let's get, stand in line and get an appointment.
Yeah.
All these scriptures talking about how much he wants to be with us.
Exactly.
No, God wants to be with me. You can say, oh man, you sound arrogant. You can say, oh, I'm just saying what God says. He says to me he wants to be with me. I'm only saying what he says. How's that arrogant?
Mm-hmm.
How's that arrogant? Mm-hmm. You know what's arrogant? Saying something that God didn't say.
Yeah.
You're right.
That's what's arrogant.
Yeah.
If God says you're great, you go, no, I'm good. You're arrogant. If God tells me I'm great and I say I'm great, I'm humble because I'm saying what he says.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. So all I'm saying, God wants to be with me. Man, that sounds funny, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. But is it truth?
Yeah, it's true.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Does God want to be with you?
Yeah, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We see it.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. God himself will dwell. Right? Jesus said, I want you to be where I am. You'll be there too. So God wants to be with me. So I believe God, I don't believe I have to make an appointment to see God. So what about Jesus? So do I have to make an appointment to see Jesus? I don't believe that. But what if I want to see Jesus at the same time you want to see Jesus? Who's going to see him first?
Then we see him at the same time.
What if we're not in the same place?
We will be in the same place.
But what if we're not? What if I'm in my mansion and you're in your mansion on the other side of the city?
I think the mansion is only going to be one.
One mansion? Okay, what if you're in the mansion and Brother James in the park?
I think it's going to be only one park.
But again, okay, so one park and one mansion? Okay, okay, okay. But well, wait a minute, Sister Nina. We can have one house on earth. Uh-huh. One house. And just because there's only one house don't mean I can see everybody in the house. The guy, somebody in the basement, and I'm upstairs. I'm in the same house, but I don't see him.
I just think everything's going to be in general. Like, there's not going to be no secrets. There's not going to be no privacy.
That.
There's
that's
not
going right. to
be none of that.
No, that's right. No secrets,
we're
none,
gonna
of, the, none of that.
We're all going to be just like, you know my business, I know your business, everybody know their business. That's how I'm picturing it.
So there's going to be no secrets, that's for sure, right? We're not hiding anything. That's going to be a wonderful thing about heaven. You know what?
Yeah.
Because you can finally let your head down.
Yeah.
You can be who you are. Mm. You don't have to worry about, you know, being saying things that you can get accepted by another person because no one's going to be judging you in any kind of way. There's criticism and all that kind of stuff, right? It's just going to be pure love, man.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Can you be just relaxing and being yourself and, like, and loving other people back?
Mm-hmm.
It's not just, you know, you're going to be loved, but you're going to be loving everyone else back. Let's get back to this for a second, though. So, okay, what do we do? So, are we going to be able to see Jesus at the same time? Randy Alcorn says this. Look what he says. He said, might we walk with Jesus, not just spiritually, but also physically, while millions of others are also walking with him? Might we not be able to touch his hand or embrace him or spend a long afternoon privately conversing with him, not just with his spirit, but his whole person? What do you think about that? In other words, if I wanted to spend the afternoon with Jesus, and you wanted to talk to Jesus that same afternoon, could we be doing that at the same time?
I think my answer is yes.
Why so? I mean, how can you? I'm not saying I disagree, but I'm just like just trying to
explain the system.
Well, God is omnipresent, right? Yes. So Jesus is omnipresent. So if that means he's everywhere, he can be everywhere.
Even in his body?
Yep. His body is glorified, so that means he can be everywhere. He can. What's the word? He's complete, full. So, yeah. So, if he can be everywhere, he can be where you are. So, if you want to be in the park, or if Beth Davis want to be in the park, Sister Nye want to be in her house, and if I want to be on my beach, then he can be there. If I want to talk to him there, not to say that he has to come to me, but he will.
But he wants to be, but yeah, he wants to
be with me. So he'll come. And yeah.
Isn't it the same thing that is happening now, though?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like, for example, you know, I could be going through struggles, and I'm at work, I ask for him. And you could be home
there,
going through your struggle,
right,
and you ask for him, and he's able to supply your need in your home, and he's able to supply my
where
need
you
at
are.
Work.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, right? So see, we've always been talking about throughout this study about continuity.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about continuity of a lot of other things about us, our relationships, and different things. But I think in this respect, you know, as Sister Nanda touched upon, right, there's something about, like, right now, God is able to hear all of us praying and talking to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, which number one is amazing, even if we're all talking the same language, but in different languages.
Mm-hmm.
There are people talking to him in the Japanese language, and in Spanish, and in Portuguese, and in French, and in English, and in Italian, at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's amazing about God. How, remember, anybody saw Bruce Almighty when he had to answer prayers?
Mm-hmm.
And he had his computer, and he was getting all the prayer, and he got one, and he thought he was going, oh, I answered that prayer, bing, and he sent it off, and then the prayers just came flooding in, and they were all coming at the same time. And then later on, he was hearing the voices praying, and it was like all these people, all this, it's like chatter.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, oh, he couldn't take it. But God is able to do that.
Yeah.
To hear it all at the same time. And so in some ways, I tend to agree with Sister Nanda, that I think there will be some kind of continuity in that sense,
yeah,
but even better now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because what happens now is I pray to God by faith. I'm not seeing him with my natural eyes. I'm not seeing him. But I'm praying by faith, the same way you're praying by faith in your home, and I'm in my car, and someone else is on the job, and someone else is in church. And we're all praying to God, and we're seeing him or experiencing him by faith.
Mm-hmm.
But heaven's better than here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And so when at that time, when you want to speak to God, God has not said to us here, one at a time, one at a time, one at a time. Right? He hasn't said that to us here. And heaven's better than here.
Yes.
So how do we get to heaven and God start telling us one at a time? I'm sorry. I think heaven's better.
Yeah.
Paul said it's better by far.
Yes.
So I believe, amen, not only will we continue to be able to speak to God at the same time and deal with him at the same time, but we're going to be able to do it in a better way. So now it's not going to be just by faith where my eyes are closed or I'm seeing him in the spirit or whatever the case may be. I believe I'm going to see him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not going to stop you from seeing him and talking to him. And
so we're going to be at different locations, but we're still going to be able to see him. Because we're going to be a spirit too, right? Just like he's going to be spirit. So
I just believe, man, that, and we talked about that before, about our bodies and whether we're going to have fingers and toes and all those types of things, remember, weeks and weeks ago. But we'll see, amen. But, you know, we'll see when we get there. I want somebody to track me down and say, remember that Bible study back in January 2017? Amen. But for now, I believe I'm going to see Jesus. Here's the thing. He wants to. See, I go back to something that we just seen in the scripture. That we kept looking. He wants to be with you.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's true.
He wants to be with you.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. All right, let's take a look at John 17:24. We had talked about this last week. We said we want to take a look at it. We come back this week. John 17:24. Jesus speaking to the Father. He says, Father, I will, or that I want, or I desire, that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. You keep hearing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou loved me before the foundation of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Jesus says, I want them to be where I am. And he gave a reason. For what reason? That they may behold my glory. So the question is, why do you think Jesus wants us to see his glory? He said it right there. I want them to be with me. Why? That they may behold or see my glory.
You want us to see him? For who he truly is.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think so?
Because we have a limited picture of or a grasp of knowledge of who he is right now.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants to see the fullness of who he is.
Mm-hmm.
And once we know that, then we appreciate that. You know, we know once you know a person better, you get to know and interact with them more. So
yeah. God wants us to know him, right?
Yeah.
No question about that. And what about this? What if we think about the glory that Jesus has because he came down to earth and did the Father's will. In other words, he obeyed God. He was sinless. He sacrificed his life. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, right? And God has given him a name which is above every name. Right? And he receives glory in heaven because of what he did here on earth. And Jesus said, I want them to see, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want them to see my glory. I want them to see. Because God, in some ways, and it sounds like it's a strange word I'm going to use, and it's just because it's imprecise, and I can't think of a better one at the time, but there's a reward for what Jesus has done.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So why would he want us to see that?
And see, he wants to see how much he had humbled himself when he came onto this earth. You know, in the condition where he was born and raised, environment and everything. How much that he gave up in obedience to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wants to see, you know, and that's basically just a show of obedience and a show of love. And he just wanted us to see how much he had really had done for us, you mm-hmm. know, to bring us out of sin, or the dominion of sin.
Mm-hmm. Do you know that like when we were younger, and even now as we get older, but especially when we were younger, when we were children, you know, if you receive a shiny new present or something, or you got something for Christmas or for your birthday, right?
Mm-hmm.
There were times you wanted to show it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some of it was you was showing off. But some of it was not showing off. It was like, those were your friends.
Yeah.
And you wanted to show them what you had.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Even now as adults, something nice happens or you get something nice, you want to show it.
Mm-hmm.
Look what my husband gave me. Oh, girl, you got to be kidding me. You know what I mean? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
But there's times that we want to show it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? We want to show it to other people.
Mm-hmm.
So Jesus saying, listen, God has bestowed upon me glory, and I want to show it to them.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the kind of thing you do with people you care about and you want, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Something happened, you go, I want to show it to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I believe that's what Jesus is saying. He said, listen, God has bestowed glory, the Father has bestowed glory on me because I've done his will.
Mm-hmm.
And I want them to see it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Jesus wants to show us his stuff. Look at this. You believe this?
Glory to God. To me, it's just another sign of how much he cares for us.
Yeah.
That, you know, a good thing, think about this. When good things happen to you, who are you most likely to want to share that with?
People you
love, people you care about. You're not going up to total strangers. You're not going up to people you don't like. You're right? Mm. It's the people you care about that you want to show them and share with them. Right? Because why? Because you know they'll rejoice with you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right? And Jesus said, I want to show them. And I don't know about you, but I want to see. Amen? Mm. So we're going to be with God. We're going to dwell with God. We're going to dwell with Jesus. And to me, that's just going to be wonderful. Right? Sharing the same place. Mm-hmm. But face to face, right? That's the promise. We're going to see God high. Face to face. Glory to God. That's why I think, you know, when we talk about, you're going to see Jesus. Well, if I'm going to see him, how am I going to see him? Face to face. All right, let's switch gears and we'll start this and we'll continue next week. Let's talk about worshiping God. Oh boy, worship. Worship, back up your hands and singing songs, stomping your feet, sweating, and doing all those things. But we talked about, you know, some popular depictions of heaven, right? The clouds, the harp, the little fat baby, right? And we said that's kind of nonsense. Here's another popular depiction about heaven that I believe we got to look at and say, come on, where is this coming from? And that is this one, of us worshiping God at all times through song and praise. We talked about that, right? Constantly singing a song and praising. And I've said it before, I'll say it again. When I first heard that, I remember one time a pastor said, you might as well open up your mouth and praise God now, because this down here is nothing about practice of what you're going to be always doing up there.
Yeah.
I'll never forget when I heard that. And I immediately thought to myself, I don't want to be doing that all the time. I mean, no disrespect. I'm just being honest. I was like, I don't want to be doing that all the time.
So what's the option?
Look, God, you can be honest with God, amen. Yeah. You can fake and go, oh, I can't wait. I was like, no.
That's true.
Is that appealing?
No.
It's a monotonous. I know I'm probably like, Lord, help me. I'm straddling the line right here. I'm hoping I stay on the right side of the line. But there's nothing about God that's monotonous.
Exactly.
So why would our interaction with him be repetitious and monotonous? I don't buy it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing about God that's that way. Mm-hmm. Now, some talk about worship, like in heaven, we're going to be worshiping God all the time, and they liken it to a continuous church service. Mm-hmm. And because most people think church is boring, right? They conclude that heaven is boring. No,
yeah,
really?
Yeah, that's true.
Really? Because they think it's just going to be one big church service. Mm-hmm. Listen, do you know why a lot of people don't go to church? Because they think it's boring.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to be sitting up there for 3 hours. But, you know, you'll watch a movie for 3 hours, you watch a game, you'll do all kinds of things. But we are going to be continuing worshiping God, but what's it going to look like? Let's look at a couple of things in our Bible. Revelation, book of Revelation, let's look at chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4, We'll look at the whole chapter, verse 1 through 11. It says, "After this I looked, and behold, the door was opened in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. And out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. And there were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. And the first beast was like a lion, and the second beast like a calf, and the third beast had a face as a man, and the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And the 4 beasts had each of them 6 wings about him, and they were full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to him that sat on the throne, who liveth forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." Now let's just stop there for a second. When did this worship service begin? What time? I don't know either. And who, was there anybody here in this worship service that we just read that told anybody who was part of the worship service how and when to worship God?
No.
How come we do that down here? How come? No, no, no. Let me tell you when you're supposed to worship.
Yeah.
How are you supposed to?
Yeah.
Clap your hands. They don't want you to sit down, right?
Yeah.
You see any of that here?
Yeah.
You see any of that here?
No.
It's like what? It's like natural. It's spontaneous.
Yeah.
It's authentic.
Yeah.
It's real. And no one, there's nobody saying it's time to do it.
Wow.
Right?
Exactly.
There was nothing we just read that seemed like it was structured.
Yeah, exactly.
Just free flowing. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be, man?
Yeah.
And think, let's stop here. We're probably going to not go too far, but just think about that for a second. If it's free flowing, forget church for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? Can I do that? Can we do that in our personal devotion with God?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. Are we guilty, though, of being a little bit too structured?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, because we have a what? And routines are good, especially, I miss my routine, especially when, you know, I have people over the house for a couple of days and the house is not, you know what I mean? You're getting up early, you're making breakfast for them, you're making dinner, you're going out to dinner, you're entertaining, right? And your routine gets described. I don't like that too much. Mm-hmm. It's like, I love you, but you know what? y'all got to get out of here, because I got to get back to reading when I read, and you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I love them, but I can't wait to, like... Maybe we'll stay one more day. No, you don't want to do that. Who's watching your dog? Try to give him reason to go home. Or you go away on vacation. It's nice to go on vacation, but this, you need to get back, right? And I understand that. That's good. But here's the thing. You know, in our devotion and in our worship and our relationship with God, do you think the structure is as important as just the thing, as it's just your heart flowing?
Watch this. Let me ask you this. Have you ever felt guilty because you thought you were supposed to fill in the blank, read a certain thing? You didn't read it.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't do that reading today.
Mm-hmm.
And do you feel like it's like, you know, it's hanging over your head? I didn't do that reading today.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be the same way. Mm-hmm. And I still fight against that because there's things like, if it's part of my routine, I feel I have to do it. It's my way of showing God, I'm serious, Lord, I'm dedicated, God, I'm really. And here's the thing, I don't think God wants that as much as he just wants you to flow.
Yes, yes.
There's times that God, like I said to God, oh God, I didn't read that. He goes, you can read it tomorrow. I hear that in my spirit. Mm-hmm. You can read that tomorrow, that's okay. Do this today. And I believe that we don't need as much structure as perhaps we have become accustomed to. And I understand, you know, we like order, and God's a God of order. But I think when it comes to, I mean, do you want your wife to like love you in an orderly fashion? You know what I mean? She's orderly. Oh, it's 6 o'clock, dear. It's 7:30. I don't want that. And he said, well, she's kissing you, she's hugging you. Yeah, but it's on schedule. Don't you want a spontaneous one that just come?
Hey, Jesus said, you know, people come with me, you know, talking about this, worship me, but their heart's far from me.
Yes.
So we do, you know, sometimes we just get too much structure or tradition or routine, but their heart's not in it.
Yeah. I think that's right.
I think sometimes you even force yourself to do it just to say that you got it done.
Yeah.
Your heart is not
mm-hmm.
on it.
Yeah.
So why?
Yeah.
That's exactly.
It becomes a discipline almost to the point of being, like you said, almost like it's a chore. Not a chore, may be the hard word, but you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
It's something you have to do so you can check it off.
Yeah.
So that somehow you feel good mm-hmm. that you check that box.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't believe God wants
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Right, now that's better than not doing anything. Don't get me
yeah.
wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But isn't this life with God about getting better and better and better?
Yeah.
And so okay, that may be good, but we should want better.
Yeah.
And then once we get the better, we want
best,
mm-hmm. right? And I'm just saying, like when you see what happened here, when we read the heavenly worship in Revelation chapter 4, it just seemed like this was just bursting out with no prompting, no schedule, no person up there going dun 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 dun, right? And I believe we can bring that not only to our church services but to our personal, because that's where it starts anyway. Forget the church service. Like we so really want to improve the church service. Improve, if we each improve with the help of God, our private devotional time with him during the week,
mm-hmm.
our church service on Sunday would be better.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Don't try to improve the church service, but do the same old stuff at home.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because really what happens here is a reflection of what we do.
During
the week.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You don't have to worry about the preacher saying, hey, slap your neighbor and tell him.
Right. Blah, blah, blah. Give 3 people high five. See, you're going to be high fiving on your own.
Exactly. That's what I was telling you.
Right, we need promptings here on earth. We need promptings to praise God.
Yeah.
We need prompt. You know, here's the best one. We're going to end. Here's the best one. Just take 30 seconds to praise God right now. Just take 30 seconds. I didn't see that in here. I didn't see the tongue before or the other. Just take 30 seconds right now and throw your crowns on this one and see your glass. Just take 30 seconds. I know folk can't stand me.
That's the truth, though. That's the truth, man.
That's okay. I just believe.
Down the truth.
Exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
And here's the thing, it's better for us. Because it will free us from this sense of almost guilt and, and obligation and all that kind of thing. And you'll just be interacting with God the free-flowing way.
Exactly.
Isn't that the way it's supposed to be?
Exactly. Free is the Lord. That's right.
Amen. Amen. So we're going to stop here, amen. And we're going to continue on with worshiping God as you know we continue to study life in heaven. But here's the thing I want, and this part, this glory to God, this particular part of the lesson. I remember I was just praying to God, and the thing that was so impressed upon my heart is. I believe as we look at this and examine this part of the lesson, right, of worshiping God when we get to heaven, there are things that we can truly put into practice on this side of glory.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yes.
Because as we see what's going to be happening in heaven and how it's going to be happening, there's no reason why we can't do that
mm-hmm.
while we're here.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And again, I'm not trying to get rid of programs and churches and you know what I'm saying, and choir directors and all that stuff. It's not even about that. To me, it's more about our individual relationship with God.
Yes.
And just being free and open in all kinds of ways, right? And how much and how beneficial that would be for us, you know, in ways that we can't even imagine. Amen. So let's keep that in our heart and our mind, right? About worshiping God, even down here, right?
Amen.
You don't need prompting, amen. Get up out the bed. You know. You don't need to, you know. Praise God for the little alerts and the Bible gateway scriptures that come to your thing. But there's times, amen, I have Bible gateway scriptures on, they be lined up for a week. I haven't read them. But it's only because God has helped me doing other things.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? It's okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
As long as your heart is in there. Right? It's okay. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray tonight. Father, we give you praise and thanks. You are a great, great God. And Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Holy Spirit, we love you. We just cherish you in the time that we have with you and in your word and with one another. And we thank you for your presence with us tonight and for what you have spoken unto us. And Lord, as we prepare to leave this place, God, we pray that you'll continue to speak words of truth unto our hearts. Father, you promised that truth would make us free. Father, we thank you for freedom. We thank you for liberty. We thank you, oh God, for all the blessings in our lives. In the name of Jesus. Father, as we leave the place, God, light the pathway before us. God, safely home. And Father, continue to bless our homes and our families, oh God, in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
And Father, we'll continue to bless you because you are worthy. We love you. We lift you up. We magnify you, God, and we adore you. We bless you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.